Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You can hang up being there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporate money. You have no say-so. You have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor. You buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second.
In today on It's My House, we get back to our roots. I was just listening to a podcast. Within the last 45 minutes. And the question came up about, can a person move into an unoccupied, a building that doesn't have a resident at it at the moment. It appears to be abandoned. Can a person move into that property and take it over and fix it up and all that? Squatters' rights. Squatters' rights is essentially trespassing. There's no such law on the books in all 50 states with the name or title of squatters' rights. If you have not gotten legal possession of the property, a piece of real estate, where it has gone through a title search, and you have clear title, you do not own that property. So the title of today's podcast is Squatters' Rights is Criminal Trespassing. It's also Civil Trespassing. 619-768-2945. If you go into a property that you do not have formal permission from the person whose name is on the deed, you can end up in that. If the owner finds out, they can take you into civil court and sue you for civil trespassing. That's private party against private party. If the law gets wind of it, it can be called, you can get charged with criminal trespassing and get locked up. If somebody calls the police on you for entering into that property and you do not have permission, oral permission or written permission from the legal owners or the legal management of that particular piece of real estate, you can get charged with breaking and entering. That's a criminal offense. And we're going to actually go to the state statutes, the law books, and read you the black letter law. If you want any particular state, 619-768-2945, I'll call, and we can read it together. Squatters in the country of South Africa, they have formalized this type of activity, and it's called building hijacking. Anyway, let's go to the audio on this, because I've got some audios on this. And the crazy thing is, you've got people actually walking around thinking they know the law and ill-advising people that can actually go into these properties and take them over, and if you fix them up, you can't do that.
But squatters won't leave a Colorado Springs home. Now the homeowner will take them to court.
Yeah, we first told you last night about the homeowner who says her home is really just being held hostage. She's a single mom trying to pay her son's medical bills. She now lives in New Hampshire and needs to quickly sell her Colorado Springs home, but those squatters won't leave.
Only KRDO News Channel 13's Emily Allen confronted the squatters.
James and Heather, the squatters were supposed to clear out by noon today, but they made it very clear they do plan to stay.
Can I ask you a few questions?
They park in the garage, they play in the backyard, and they even get packages delivered. But realtor Linda Schauer will tell you, they don't belong there.
I don't want to call them names, but I think they're just, they're like cockroaches. They've gone into this house and they're not going to get out.
Squatters live in Pauline Hawkins' home. They told her they'd been scammed into thinking the home was for rent. She allowed them to stay until Christmas.
How could we know better when we would never even think of such a thing? We are the kind of people that are compassionate and trusting and loving. And when we see somebody in need, we lend a hand. Even if we don't have anything to give, we do what we can.
She changed the lock.
Hawkins and her realtor, Linda Schauer, now know they made a big mistake. Letting them stay that week gave them legal protection. Now Hawkins will have to evict them as if they were her tenants, even though they aren't paying rent.
I've never had this experience before in my career as a realtor. I've never had anybody break into a house and then claim it's theirs.
We'd like to ask you a few questions. Are you guys going to be out by noon today?
I don't think that's really any of your concern.
So why do you guys feel privileged to stay at this house?
Burglary in progress, 6334 Crystal Mountain Road.
The squatters were apparently put off by our questions. The woman tried to get us arrested. That didn't work. So Hawkins is now going to have to go to court in order to get her house back. Today she did end up hiring an attorney, and there's a group that stepped up to help raise money to cover some of those costs.
So it all comes back to essentially squatters' rights by letting them stay for that 1 week out of the goodness of their heart. Now there's nothing they can do. There's no criminal action, even though these people are essentially living there, not paying anybody.
Exactly. That's the crux of the problem. If she gave them that permission that one time, even though she had set a time limit on it, it doesn't matter. It's now a civil issue, and police can't come in and kick her out.
So she has to take this into the civil courts, and that could take an untold amount of time to resolve itself.
Exactly. We don't know exactly how long it's going to take, but we do know that it's going to take several months. Mm.
Emily, thanks.
Thanks so much.
And this is an example of nice guys finishing last. And that most homeowners are essentially housing illiterate. And they don't know the basics of contracts. Now, here's what happened in this situation. The squatters basically broke the law. When you enter into a person's real estate, in this case, that's breaking and entering. That is a criminal offense. All right? Now, when the legal owner found out, here is where, and this is what I mean by housing illiteracy, a homeowner's illiteracy. There are two basic type of contracts, fundamentally speaking. They're express contracts and they're implied contracts. Express contracts are contracts that are in writing, that a name, date, the particulars, it's in writing. That's an express contract. The mistake that this homeowner made in this case, because they didn't know anything about contracts, fundamentally speaking, when they gave the squatters who committed the crime of breaking and entering, they essentially told the crooks, okay, since it's Christmas, being fucking nice, rewarding them for breaking into their own fucking house. They rewarded them by giving them an implied contract. An implied contract is an oral contract. And the moment they gave them an implied contract, and an implied contract does not require writing. It's a verbal agreement. The moment they said, well, you know what, it's Christmas, you can stay to this such and this such date, you automatically eliminated any chance of criminal proceedings against these people. Had they known the law up front, what I'm just talking about, they could have called the police, because they did not know these people. These people were strangers. Had they called the police immediately, no small talk, no cutting deals, fuck Christmas. They could have had those people arrested on breaking and entering. Let's go to another thing on squatters, or people that think that squatters' rights is legal.
Breaking news at 4:30. The million-dollar squatter evicted overnight from the East Memphis mansion she took over just days ago. Action News 5 had multiple crews and multiple scenes as this all went down. We want to explain exactly what happened. This was the 600 block of Shady Grove in East Memphis. Around 1 this morning, authorities saw the iron gate open, as you just heard. They then moved into their home. Again, 600 block, Shady Grove. This happened about 2 hours after Shelby County Sheriff deputies pulled over Tabitha Gentry in her white Jaguar, along with her 13-year-old daughter. There's a picture of her. She was just down the street from the $3 million home, where self-proclaimed Moorish American National Republic sovereign citizen is accused of squatting for the past few days. Now, Action News 5 has learned the way authorities were finally able to make their move was thanks to a welfare check by a relative of the 13-year-old girl. Listen.
We went down to file the appropriate papers at the court because she thought that her grandchild was in an endangered situation. Working on that, based on that, our detectives and SWAT unit and TAC unit came down here to devise a plan to figure out exactly how we could, gain entrance into the home without causing anyone harm and get them out. Just so happens that we didn't have to go in the house. They actually came out of the house, and as they were driving down the street, that's when we were able to apprehend the vehicle.
And that was Chip Washington with the Shelby County Sheriff's Office. Chopper 5 over the mansion here just within the past few hours as authorities continued to search the property. So far, they haven't found anyone else there. And at last check, Tabitha Gentry was still being processed. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office says she will be charged with burglary. The 13-year-old daughter is in DHS custody. Action News 5, of course, all over this story. We were from the very beginning. Stay with us here on the air at TV5, Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, our homepage, WMCTV.com, as more information continues. Ron?
And there you have it. Here's a woman. More than likely, she was told misinformation from somebody that thought they knew the law, and they didn't know that you can move into a person's property and all be legal like. So she went in, somebody called the police. As you heard, the news report said she got charged with burglary. This was in Memphis, Tennessee. She got arrested. And the state took her child. This happens every day from people listening to the wrong fucking people. Let's go to our legal dictionary here. And you can go online and pick out any legal dictionary that you want. Breaking and entering. Now, this is in L.A. I'm reading from a legal dictionary. Breaking and entering is the criminal act of entering a residence or other enclosed property through the slightest amount of force, even pushing open a door, without authorization. If there is intent to commit a crime, this is burglary. If there is no such intent, the breaking and entering alone is probably the least illegal, is probably at least illegal trespass, which is a misdemeanor crime and the correct crime to charge. So by entering into a property where you have not been formally and legally authorized to do so, you can get charged with burglary or criminal trespass or breaking and entering. There's your trifecta right there. You can also, the person who does have legal authority can take you into civil court and sue you for civil trespass. Now let's stay in the legal dictionary. Let's look at the legal definition of trespass to land. In modern law, the word trespass is most commonly to describe the intentional and wrongful invasion of another's real property. If, once again, if you do not have legal authorization to enter into a property, it will be considered wrongful invasion. An action for trespass can be maintained by the owner or anyone who has a lawful right to occupy the property. Jesus, man, I'm getting all these notes. The action can be maintained against anyone who interferes with the right of ownership or possession. Now, let me break down this word possession, because a lot of people really don't know what that word means. They believe that if you enter into this property, that you're in possession of it, particularly these people that totally misconstrued the concept of adverse possession. I'll give you an example. I'm physically in Florida right now. I have a house in Washington, D.C., which is empty. Okay. However, although I'm physically in Florida right now, I am in possession of that property 1,000 miles away. And it's sitting empty. Now, how can you say you're in possession of it? You need to learn there's a distinction between the words possession and occupation. I've got the deed. The deed's in my name. If your name is on the deed, you are in possession of that property. And one of your rights of ownership is you don't have to occupy the property if you have possession of the property. So a lot of people take their stupid asses into these properties. They criminal trespass. They break and enter, and they think they're in possession of the property. Until you have your name and it goes to a proper title search and it's on a deed, you do not have legal possession of that property. The property key owner could live on Pluto. They're in possession of the property. You're occupying the property illegally. Because what adverse possession is, in reality, the way, actually, adverse possession has nothing to do with people being on the property. Basically, adverse possession is basically usually between neighbors over a property line. The property line, one owner thinks the property line ends here or begins here, another person. Adverse possession, and we've done podcasts on this in the past. We'll do some later this year. But adverse possession is really between neighbors. So if your stupid ass is sitting up in the house and you're claiming adverse possession, You need to be toted away because adverse possession has nothing to do with occupying the property. It's between neighbors, boundary disputes between neighbors. That's what adverse possession is about. Anyway, let's go to the next audio if I haven't played it already.
Well, just when you thought you've heard it all, along comes another unbelievable story. A former Baltimore man says he moved out of his home to sell it, but before he could do that, a stranger moves in. He calls her a squatter. 11 News I-Team reporter Lisa Robinson picks up the story.
A quick glance, and it appears there's nothing unusual about this northeast Baltimore home. It's in the established neighborhood of Chinkapin. It's business as usual here. People come and go as they please, and therein lies the problem.
The locks that are on it now aren't the ones that were on it when I left.
Chris Fredericks and his wife own the house. He says they moved out during the housing crisis because they had trouble paying the mortgage, hoping for a quick short sale. The realtor said empty the house. They did, but it didn't sell. That was more than 2 years ago. In November, Chris decided to list the house again because the market started to improve and the bank still hadn't foreclosed.
The owner of the house, Chris Fredericks, lives here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He relied on friends to keep an eye on the house. When he sent his friend to check on the house, he got a huge surprise.
He's like, I'm pretty sure I'm at your house, but I'm not sure if it's the right one because the lights are on and there's a dog inside.
Matt Faust is a friend who checked on the house. He had a bunch of keys and was not sure which one was right, so he tried them all.
I'm at the last key that I have to check, and it's still not working.
Matt says he thought to himself maybe Chris had the locks changed.
And then all of a sudden, the door opens, and I'm just taken back. And the guy, it was a guy, and he said, what are you doing here? And I'm like, this is my friend's house. I'm coming to check up on it.
Matt tells the man that Chris is selling the house and that it's about to go back on the market.
And he's like, it's not for sale. It's not on the market.
Chris started to investigate. Neighbors told him a woman by the name of Lakeisha Filliott was living in his house. He found her on Facebook. In January, the two exchanged several messages.
I tried to talk her into leaving, which didn't work, obviously.
Frederick said, you are in a house that you do not own and that you have no permission to be in. You are trespassing. Filia, you were here in 2010, 3 years ago. If you own this house, you are not here. And what can I do to rent it? It's a nice home. Fredericks, how did you get into the house? Filia, a key and how much you want. Fredericks, I'm not renting it. It's going up for sale. He goes on to tell her he will be reasonable and asks her to leave the house.
It's surprisingly hard to kick out a squatter.
Especially when he's living so far away. So we contacted the I-Team and we tried to speak with Lakeisha.
We'd like to know how it is that you're living in this house. How did you come to live in that house?
Oh, my.
When I asked how she got access to the house, she showed me her keys.
Are you paying rent to someone?
Yes, I am.
Filia later told us she's been renting the home for 7 to 8 months, but that it would be difficult for her to locate her lease. She says her landlord purchased the home at a tax sale. She did not give us his full name or contact information, but we checked, and the Northwood Avenue property does not show up on the city's tax sale list.
Chris Fredericks tried to do everything he could here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but everything he tried would end up costing him.
I don't have the money or the resources really to do much. I wanted to sell the house to get rid of it.
Fredericks is filing a wrongful detainer in the District Court of Maryland to prove Lakeisha Filia has no legal right to the house. Once he gets a court date, he will have to travel to Baltimore or hire a lawyer. Another option, according to attorney Stuart Sagel, is to use what the law calls self-help.
If you can, without creating a breach of the peace, change the locks when the person isn't there, you can do that now. And you can lock them out of your home, which isn't their home. But what the court says is you have to give them a reasonable opportunity to be able to recover their property.
I'm going to ask the realtor if I could sell it with her in it.
So while Chris waits for his paperwork to make its way through the court system, he makes this gentle plea to Lakeisha Filia and anyone else residing in his house.
Can you please get out of my house so I can sell it? That'd be great.
For the 11 News I-Team, I'm Lisa Robinson.
Late today, Lakeisha Filia brought us the lease that she says she signed to rent the property. It does not include contact information for the landlord or the man whom she says collects the rent every month. And Ms. Filia was unable to provide us with that information. The I-Team will continue to investigate.
This is rampant all through the United States. And a lot of this is promoted, like the lady that was sitting in the house, more, like I say, people give a lot of false information. And your local public library has, and this is one of the reasons why we're opening up. A matter of fact, well, we got to do the first one, but soon opening up a library where we'll be giving workshops on this. Because, like I say, there's a lot of misinformation. People getting arrested. People, children taken away. I played this. You just heard audio a few minutes ago. A lady in Memphis, Tennessee, more than likely listened to some asshole clown that you can do this. Went into a $2 million house. She got arrested, and a child's in the system now. And if your child gets in, it's one thing as an adult to get in the system, you know. But when you have a child in the system, it's more difficult to get the child out of the system. But you got people listening to people that give this damn, I mean, they say it with all this authority. And basically they don't know shit. They know just enough to be dangerous. Now, if it's one thing, if you're dangerous to yourself, but you have a lot of these so-called advocates that the information that they're giving is dangerous to other people. I mean, we can even link this to how even whole neighborhoods get taken over because you listen to the wrong people. In any event, squatters' rights, there's no law on any of the books in all 50 states known as squatters' rights, number one. Number two, what people are calling squatter rights is essentially, on the criminal side of things, it's criminal trespassing, also known as trespass the land. There are criminal sanctions against it. You can look that up online, trespass the land, breaking and entering, or burglary. And you can read the legal definitions for yourself. Each state might have its own tweak of the law, but it's on the books. Breaking and entering, trespass to land or criminal trespassing, or burglary. Let me read the definition of breaking and entering again. The criminal act of entering a residence or other enclosed property to the slightest amount of force, even pushing open a door without authorization. Period, end of sentence. That's what you people are doing. That a lot of these advocates, particularly the one that she's probably not listening to this podcast that I heard on another podcast earlier today, that's what you're basically telling people to do. You may as well put on an orange jumpsuit and put on the handcuffs and shackles now. Anybody who listens to that type of, it's not even advice, man. In any event, 619-768-2945. I challenge the people on this one. It's not adverse possession. It's one of, it's either, like I say, it's civil trespassing, criminal trespassing, burglary, breaking and entering. Those are the main ones. Oh, if you got children, well, you heard what happened to the lady in Memphis. Daughter in the foster care system. And you know what? And here's what I'm saying. And rightly so, that's what your stupid dumbass deserves for listening to somebody that doesn't know shit. You had it fucking coming. And that's the that's why we have It's My House. For the other case, the first case I played today, if you go to your property, condo, house, whatever it might be, and you find a stranger who is in that property that you don't know, please remember, nice guys finish last. I don't care if they got kids that are starving. Call the police. Report them as breaking and entering into your property. Have them toted away and have the fucking kids put in fucking child protective services. Because if you don't do that, if you play the nice guy card, I'm going to play this audio again, and we're going to go over it legally, by the book.
But squatters won't leave a Colorado Springs home. Now the homeowner will take them to court.
Yeah, we first told you last night about the homeowner who says her home is really just being held hostage. She's a single mom trying to pay her son's medical bills. She now lives in New Hampshire and needs to quickly sell her Colorado Springs home. But those squatters won't leave.
Only KRDO News Channel 13's Emily Allen confronted the squatters.
James and Heather, the squatters were supposed to clear out by noon today, but they made it very clear they do plan to stay.
Can I ask you a few questions?
They park in the garage, they play in the backyard, and they even get packages delivered. But realtor Linda Schauer will tell you they don't belong there.
I don't want to call them names, but I think they're just... they're like cockroaches. They've gone into this house and they're not going to get out.
Squatters live in Pauline Hawkins' home. They told her they'd been scammed into thinking the home was for rent. She allowed them to stay until Christmas.
How could we know better when we would never even think of such a thing? We are the kind of people that are compassionate and trusting and loving.
Compassion and loving has no place when you're a homeowner or a business owner. But in this case, a homeowner. Once she discovered that there were strangers occupying her house, and then she was compassionate. Now, here's why compassion fucks people up. Once again, you have two fundamental types of contracts, and then the other type of contracts that spring from that. But fundamentally speaking, the two type of contracts are express contracts that are contracts that are in writing, and implied contracts that are verbal. Once she discovered that these people, and because what she walked on was a crime scene, breaking and entering. She did not authorize these people to enter into that her home. Didn't authorize it. Clear cut case of breaking and entering. Call the police immediately. have their ass carted off to jail and have the kids carted off to the foster care. And then go about your life. That's what could have happened had they, she known the distinctions between what the different type of contracts is and what breaking and entering is. Obviously, this woman was housing illiterate or housing law illiterate. Now, as soon as she played the compassionate card, and it's the holidays card, and we're going to give you a date card, you just, and you offered, and you gave them those dates. You did two things. You gave them an invitation to contract, and then when you set the dates, you formed a contract, an implied contract. Although it wasn't in writing, it's still a valid contract, an implied contract. Then you just threw away the criminal element altogether. The police can't help you at that point. And then it is a civil matter because that's what the police told her. And you have to take it through the channels. You got to take it through the system. That homeowner had the most power when you discovered strangers in your house. I'll say it again. Compassion has no place in a property owner's mindset. Because the people that were occupying your house, they don't have compassion for you and your sick kids. In this case, although I just played, they had no compassion that she has a child that's sick. They have no compassion that you got financial responsibilities. And here's the third thing. You're living in the United States of America. Good country, a lot of good benefits to it. But our national bird is the American bald eagle, which is a predator. And that's what this country, it was built on people preying on people. That's what Americans do. We prey on people. If they appear to be weak at the slightest, we pounce on them. So in the United States, you can't afford to be compassionate. It's either eat or be eaten. And this is a perfect, I'm going to go through this again. This is a perfect case of eat or be eaten. There's no in between. There's no in between.
Up, but squatters won't leave a Colorado Springs home. Now the homeowner will take them to court.
Yeah, we first told you last night about the homeowner who says her home is really just being held hostage. She's a single mom trying to pay her son's medical bills. She now lives in New Hampshire and needs to quickly sell her Colorado Springs home, but those squatters won't leave.
Only KRDO News Channel 13's Emily Allen confronted the squatters.
James and Heather, the squatters were supposed to clear out by noon today, but they made it very clear they do plan to stay.
Can I ask you a few questions?
They park in the garage, they play in the backyard, and they even get packages delivered. But realtor Linda Schauer will tell you they don't belong there.
I don't want to call them names, but I think they're like cockroaches. They've gone into this house and they're not going to get out.
Squatters live in Pauline Hawkins' home. They told her they'd been scammed into thinking the home was for rent. She allowed them to stay until Christmas.
How could we know better when we would never even think of such a thing? We are the kind of people that are compassionate and trusting and loving, and when we see somebody in need, we lend a hand. Even if we don't have anything to give, we do what we can.
She changed the lock.
Hawkins and her realtor, Linda Schauer, now know they made a big mistake. Letting them stay that week gave them legal protection. Now Hawkins will have to evict them as if they were her tenants, even though they aren't paying rent.
I've never had this experience before in my career as a realtor. I've never had anybody break into a house and then claim it's theirs.
would like to ask you a few questions.
Oh.
Are you guys going to be out by noon today?
I don't think that's really any of your concern.
So why do you guys feel...
Can't hear you, L.A. What you doing?
Sorry, I had myself on mute. Man, I keep on doing that every day. I'm going to have to leave my mic open all the time.
You know, I used adverse possession on a piece of property. I got to take over a walkway that the city owned that people was using to cut from one street to the other. So I just put a fence across it. And after a period of time, it became mine. And you know, a lot of the land in the New England on the east that land barons own, you know, especially when during the time when it was building the Transatlantic Railroad, and you had a lot of people that was buying up land for very hardly anything. They was land barons. Then you had others that came in and done what you said was squatters. And they sat on that land and made improvements on it for 7 years. And it became theirs. Another thing that helped them to achieve what it was that they did was the gun in the early forming of this nation. So many people don't know that history.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the gun. The state of Hawaii became the state of Hawaii literally at gunpoint. That's how.
Yeah,
Hawaii
I can't think of the name of that general. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and also when.
Go ahead.
And also when settlers went west. And when they went west because of a lot of reasons, and let's say it was the call for gold, and they would occupy an area, and if they had agreements or disputes, they would work that out amongst each other through all different means, from fist fights, gun fights, to just plain old handshakes. And they were the first to occupy these lands of any organized authority. And then as time went by, governments would begin to form in those areas, subdividing the land up into towns and municipalities and cities. The government just continued to adopt the rules and regulations into laws that had been established by those first occupants. It became ordinances and also public laws. So that's the history part of it anyway.
Yeah, well, these days it's we have more law and so-called law and order. But people, like I said, they take a lot of bad. I forgot this is a group. Somebody don't name my tongue. They quote the law all the time.
It's a black group out there that does that too. You know that case with New Orleans, not even Memphis. That woman, that black woman, belonged to one of those groups, and I can't think of the name of them neither.
Yeah,
Moore,
the,
not
right
Moore.
My tongue.
And I used to talk to some.
A lot of times those people get arrested.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, the main group don't do jack. They sit back and watch. That's
right.
Like instigators. Instigators will convince somebody to engage in something that sounds good, but it's a crime. They just sit back and watch.
Right. And that's exactly.
Nuwabians or something like that, weren't they? Man, I can't think of the name.
I got Warren Easton come on. He'll know the name of him. But there's you're right. What they do is they sit back and they just watch. And they have zero political power. All right, Warren Houston, he's going to call in. Planning group. Let me go. Here he is. Warren, what's the name of the group? They seem to be pretty versed in the law, but then when they try to, some of their members try to take over a house, saying that they, you know, this about the law and that about the law. Most of the time, they get arrested, and nobody in the group, just sits back and look. What's the name? I forgot the name.
Well, you talking about people tied up in the Moore Science.
Moore Science is another name for them too. I can't think of it.
Yeah, but there's another name too.
Well, your sovereign group, your sovereign right group.
That's it. Sovereign nation.
Yeah.
So sovereign citizens. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you send off some money and they send you some damn paperwork and all that old crazy stuff. If you get stopped driving without license plates, you're supposed to show that to the police. And I knew of a guy that would belong to that. He was trying to go on a trip and try to use one of them damn passports. The airline wouldn't let him on the plane.
Right.
And there was a young lady in Baltimore County, Maryland. Gaines was her last name. I forgot her first name. I mean, she really believed in the sovereign citizens nation to a fault. And she ended up getting killed by the Baltimore County Police.
I knew a lady that denounced her American citizenship, and she was stateless, thinking that she's going to walk over into Israel and, claim something. I said, no, you're not. So it's about like that lady that went over there and joined, the Taliban? A woman out of Alabama?
White woman married
some Taliban, married three of them, had babies, and now she want to come back to the U.S. They said, nope, you're not a U.S. citizen no more. Heck, you might have been over there fighting against U.S. soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Let me open it up to a subject. Since we got some time to kill here, I haven't seen it on HBO. I guess it was last night. I don't know if it ran Sunday night or Monday night, or if it ran last night or run tonight. On this Michael Jackson, documentary. And then Oprah even, I think she had it on her. Well, she did an interview with these guys. But the way I'm looking at it, I mean, he went through all these investigations years ago when he was living and never got charged with anything. So I don't know what's going on with these guys now, but 10 years after the fact, he's been gone for 10 years. Any comments on that, Peter, or anybody listening? On this new documentary claiming Michael Jackson was a molested, these two guys that are featured in this documentary. And these two guys, years ago, under oath, said he didn't do anything. But now they've changed their story. Anyway, some guy made a documentary out of it. It's called... what's it called?
Yeah. I think it's all about money. Well, I think it just came out last night, but I think it's, in my opinion, yeah, without even looking at it, it's got to be about money. I mean, Latoya Jackson, daughter of Joe Jackson, accused Joe of rape and molestation as a child. only to find out that she did it because the husband that she was with did it to make money. I just, you know, and you can't go through it, but I just don't see Mike. Mike was still a child himself in the mind in a lot of ways. And so he was basically, in my opinion, trying to relive his childhood. So I don't really believe it. I mean, I look into it, but I just think it's a way to get publicity and money.
Yeah, me too. I think it's, I mean, because he got criminally investigated thoroughly. I mean, by the Los Angeles DA's office, that was one place the L.A. County, I mean, the city of L.A. investigated him. No charges, and then probably another county out there in California. So he got investigated by at least two state agencies in California and got cleared. Now, I understand it was some FBI investigation. I don't know anything about that. But, I mean, what more do you want? The man got cleared criminally at least twice while he was alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's people trying to do his estate like they do the Catholic Church. Basically,
right.
Like Warren said, they're out trying to grab some money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sad situation, but it is what it is.
Well, Warren, what's going on the Know Thyself front?
Well, I just got back from Dallas. I've been in Dallas since Wednesday, and I got back Sunday night. From the what they call PETS, P-E-T-S, Presidential-Elect Training Resource, training seminar. Of course, I've been elected president of my Rotary Club, so we're trying to get that lined up, but I can see the Know Thyself Radio in the making. What is this, March, probably in April. Be ready to come out in April. Let's get a few things straightened out here.
Okay, great. Looking forward to that. All right, well, that's about
and
it. All
it may even be this month, by the end of this month, but we're definitely ready to bring it back.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, same Sunday night?
Yes, it'll be Sunday nights, 8 to 10, as like it was before.
For some reason... Oh, you know what? Because I'm 1 hour ahead of you guys. That's what I'm thinking. I thought it was on later than that. But oh, yeah, you give me a central time. Yeah, for me it's 9:30. Yeah, or 9 o'clock.
9 to 11. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. All right then. Well, that's about it for today. Thanks, Warren, for coming on from Facebook. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.